Christy Scholes from VH1's Rock of Love. And this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality. This is real life.
Hey, everyone. It's Lacey motherfucking Scholes. And this is Talk of Love, episode 64. Now, I'm sure you guys noticed that I have a little bit of a different background today. And I just want to let you guys know that I'm sure you've been noticing over the last few weeks, there's been some changes to the podcast. And basically, you guys are having a front row seat to watching the learning curve of me wanting to grow and improve and evolve this podcast. So I definitely am still going to continue using the podcast studio that you guys are used to. I'm going to be using them for purposes of editing. And I'm also going to be using them in the future, basically whenever I have a guest who's in town and I want to bring the guest in to do an in-person interview instead of doing the remote interview, I will be using the podcast for that purpose as well. But otherwise, I wanted to bring the podcast home because it just basically gave me a little bit more freedom and a little bit more liberty as far as scheduling goes. You know, if a guest has to change the interview date at the last minute or something, or if I want to go longer than I had normally scheduled, or if any kind of changes, it just makes it easier for me to do this if I am here at my house. Also, I've been talking to you guys for a few weeks now. I've really been wanting to launch Love of Talk, which would be like my spinoff from the podcast. And that's another thing that it just, you know, having the studio at home is just easier because if I ever get like, you know, a creative, you know, whim, or if I'm feeling like extra chatty that day, then instead of having to schedule with the podcast studio, I can just walk into the bedroom and film an episode. So that has been the goal. It's been a little bit of a learning curve, though. You guys might have seen in the last couple of episodes, I was filming in my living room. The problem with that is that because living rooms tend to be a little bit larger rooms, then it sort of creates an audio headache in that the sound is like kind of echoey and bouncing all around. So now I've moved the studio upstairs to my little bedroom, which is easier to keep control of the sound, the audio. And I wanted to do a little decoration. So I'm actually kind of proud of my little setup here. So I hope you guys like it, but it definitely has been a learning curve. You know, I've been having to learn like the tech end of things, and it's been a lot of fun, but basically you guys have been getting to be a witness to all of this. So anyway, just ever evolving, ever changing, ever growing. That is the goal. The only downside to the room that I have now chosen, which is my upstairs room, and I'm only literally realizing this now, is I have the air conditioner off because I don't want to have the AC getting picked up by the microphone because it makes it very noisy. And when I was downstairs, that didn't really matter. But me being in Las Vegas, it just started getting hot. And I'm also upstairs now, which, you know, as we all know, the upstairs is usually the first place in the house to get hot first. So it's like 1,000 degrees in this room. And I'm already starting to feel the sweating happening. So if you guys see me turning into a sweaty monster, or if my face is turning red and I'm like, you know, turning into a lobster and you're like, what's going on with Lacey? It's like 1,000 degrees in this room. So as I said, I don't want to turn on the AC because it gets very noisy with the mic. But yeah, it's freaking hot in here. So I might melt right in front of you guys. So I'm going to have to figure that out clearly for my next episode. But anyway, please send me your cool thoughts, my direction. I'm going to need it. It's freaking hot in here. So, but anyway, I'm excited. I'm excited for all the changes, and I'm excited at just the idea of making this podcast the most efficient and productive that I can make it. Cause the more convenient, the more efficient I make it, the more I can start, you know, doubling up on the content that I want to create for you guys. So anyway, there you have it. With that said, I am very excited about my next guest. She recently reached out to me. I thought she had pretty much disappeared from social media. So I was very, very happy when she reached out to me and said she wanted to come on the podcast. You know her as Sirius. Please welcome from Flavor of Love season one and from Charm School season one. Please welcome Crystal Cleveland. Hey, Crystal, how are you? You look fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. I am great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just want to say thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. I thought that you had kind of disappeared from social media. And so you kind of randomly out of the blue, or seemingly to me out of the blue, sent me a direct message on Instagram and were like, hey, when am I going to come on the podcast? And I'm like, there she is. I was so glad you reached out.
So there were fans of yours that were definitely inboxing me, trying to connect the two of us. And it's been happening for a minute. And I finally decided, you know what? I'm going to come out of my cave for just a few hours for Lacey.
Well, I appreciate that so much. And I got to say, when I announced you on Instagram and on YouTube, everybody was super, super stoked. And it's interesting because you didn't necessarily last a super long time on either show, but you definitely made an impact and fans really, really liked you a lot.
I mean, I was myself. And I mean, it's cool to think that when you are yourself, that you don't have to do much.
Yeah, that's really great because I've interviewed so many different people on this podcast. And it's interesting because most of the people who are on these shows are really just 100% genuinely themselves. Other people tend to create a character for themselves or sort of play right up to the camera. But did you feel you were not doing like playing up to the camera? You were just being you?
I was totally uninterested in playing to anyone's camera. I was just, I got casted for Flavor of Love in a really interesting way.
Okay.
And I think it kind of set the stage for, you know, who I'd be or, you know, how I would choose to portray myself on the show. You know, like I didn't go to a casting, you know, so I was there and, you know, things were happening and it was alcohol and I was there for it.
Nice. So how did you end up on the show exactly? How did you, you said you did not audition?
I didn't. So I was between castings and having sushi at a restaurant. And they were casting at the restaurant. And so one of the producers came and was like, "You're eating by yourself. You're so pretty. You know, you shouldn't be eating by yourself. Like, we're casting for this show." And I was like, "Oh, no, thank you. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm just passing time." And he sent me a drink and I felt the need to go thank him for the drink. And, you know, we kind of chopped it up and he's like, "Yo, you would be perfect for the show. Like, you know, do you mind if I hit record?" And he did. And the rest is history. I had never really even watched much or any reality television before I was on it.
Wow, that's so wild. Yeah, yeah. I was actually going to ask if you had watched any of like the Surreal Life or Flavor Flav's other show with Bridget Nielsen, but no, this is like a whole new brand new thing for you.
It was. And one thing that I'm big on is a new experience. So something I had never done before, sign me the fuck up.
I love it. I love that. Yeah, it's a really good philosophy to have because you can only have like so much stuff in your life, but the experiences and taking advantage of them. And that's really what makes life full. And that's kind of why I myself decided to do the shows for the exact same reason. So I know, we all know that you were doing modeling and actually
right.
they did the same thing to me that they did to you. My whole thing was, I'm a musician. And of course they like edited all of them together to look like that was all
right.
I talked about. So you were doing modeling, but what was your life like Pre-Flavor of Love,
it was modeling. I was working and traveling and partying and taking pictures for money. And then Flavor of Love, I thought going into it would just be a, you know, just something that happened along the way. And it kind of, it definitely was like a meteor to my modeling career. It changed the course of, you know, how everything went after that. So many people thought that I went to the show to be a model, you know, but it actually did not help. It was not a helpful thing. It was, you know, quite the opposite in some regard. So.
Oh, that sucks. I'm really sorry to hear that. Yeah, I know that you had mentioned on the reunion show, you were like, "I'm not an aspiring model. I have a career.
Right.
I'm already doing it." And I'm really sorry to hear that it had a negative effect. Because you were young, right, when you did Flavor Love? Were you early 20s?
I was young. I was 23, I believe. And I, you know, like on one hand, I was able to continue or even really, it changed the course. Let's not say it, you know, it didn't end my career, but it absolutely changed the course of my modeling career. The things that I was doing before, well, I was able to be almost anonymous, just a body, you know, a hanger with titties. And then, you know, that was gone. It was like, "You're the girl for Flavor of Love." It was like, "Holy shit, please don't do that," you know.
So you kind
but
of...
It is what it is.
You lost that anonymity. And did you find yourself getting fewer gigs, or did you have an agent at the time that was saying, hey, like, this isn't really a good thing for you? Or how do you know it impacted your career in a different way?
So the first thing, and, you know, I'm going to pour up while I tell this story.
Do your thing, girl. Do your thing.
So the first time I had a contract with American Apparel, I did fit modeling. So we would travel the world. We'd be at a convention and we, you know, somebody would come by and say, you know, how does the medium fit? And I put the medium on. Perfect. I saw so much of the world with American Apparel. And I remember the first convention after Flavor of Love had like really blown up. And the next day, my manager called from a different part of the world and was like, hey, you know, they're letting you go.
Oh, no. Oh, that
and,
sucks.
You know, I wasn't surprised because I had seen it happen with other girls, you know, with girls that had done Top Model, for instance. And, you know, I mean, so I kind of knew it was coming. And like I said, it changed the course. Like, you know, bookings didn't stop. They just changed.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, to change. I love that. So, when you were on the show, when you first arrived on set and were kind of like assessing everything and taking everything in, did you know that Flav was going to be The Bachelor? And did you know who Flav was prior to that?
So, I found out that it was Flavor Flav the day before I left Atlanta.
Oh my God.
So if I left on a Monday, then I found out that Sunday.
Oh my God.
And I mean, of course I knew Flavor Flav. I mean, Flavor Flav is hip hop royalty, you know, so I wasn't deterred by any means because it was, you know, Flavor Flav. I'm like, okay, let's go. You know, like I think that the world that met him not through his music met crazy clocks, colors, you know, all of the stuff. You know, but if you knew Flav through his music, then you understood how intelligent he was and the impact that they made on the industry, on culture, you know, on hip hop, on black culture in general. And so it just, I got the name Sirius because I made him a gift and took it there for the first day. So I also made you a gift. Do you have your gift?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes. hang on a second. It's, I'm so excited when you emailed me and you're like, hey, I'm going to send you a gift. It's going to come in the mail. Don't open it until you do the podcast. And of course, my mind is like going wild. I'm like, what could it be? I'm like, I'm sort of hoping for like an obscenely giant dildo, but I have a feeling that's not what it is.
Well, it's not a dildo, but I will say this. I show up to no one's house empty-handed, ever.
Okay, got my knife. Let's see what we got here. I'm so excited about this. It feels like it's got some good weight to it. Let's see.
That's that Christmas Day joy. Just shake it.
Right? Oh, you got me paper. You shouldn't have.
What is this?
So pretty. Yeah, you really went all out. Look at this beautiful box. Oh my gosh, that's so sweet. That looks so pretty. All right.
Thank you.
This is like Christmas. Actually, I do have a birthday coming up, so.
When's your birthday?
Like June 10th.
I'm June 12th.
Are you really? Get out of here. My fellow Gemini queen. That is amazing. Oh my God. Oh my God, girl. Lacey motherfucking skulls. That is so cool and thoughtful. And there's some other stuff in here too. Oh, Tito's vodka. That's my jam. Oh my God. I might have to bust out some Tito's vodka since it's.
Yeah, go for it. So I'm not drinking
this
along.
This is so freaking cool. So this is, it's got a skull in it. Girl, that is so thoughtful. I'm like blown away right now. Like you don't even know me and you got me some like awesome fucking shit.
Again. You're Lacey motherfucking soul. I'm not gonna show up empty-handed.
That is so cool. That's from the show.
Oh right. So God. Now I can tell you the whole story. So if I found out that it was Flavor Flav on a Monday, then on Sunday, well, I found out I found out on Sunday that it was Flavor Flav. I made a couple phone calls. We gotta shoot y'all, you know, because I can't show up to Flavor Flav's house empty-handed. So I shot the day before, got the t-shirt done real quick. I got there, and they're giving out names. Flav's giving out names. And there's, you know, everybody's in a line. I'm towards the end of the line. At first, he's giving out really thoughtful names. He's asking you a little bit about you. Oh, you're from New York? You're going to be in New York. By the time it got to me, he was drinking Hennessy straight. And he just was naming everybody the color of their shirt. I had on blue. And I was like, let me tell you what I'm not going to be is blueberry. So I got out of the line. I got my gift. And, you know, before you name me, I think you should open your gift. And he was like, yo, this is serious. And then from there on, I got the best name in all of love history.
You got a great name. You got a great
name. I got the name.
I'm so happy that you are happy with your name. We were, the Rock of Love girls, we were very lucky because we didn't have nicknames. Because there's a lot of great names that Flav gave to some of the girls. Like, obviously, New York is a great name. Your name is a great name. You know, Goldie.
But she's not from New York City. So her name should have been, like, Utica.
It doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, I think a lot of you got really lucky, like Hottie, you know, Smiley, because later on in the later seasons, it was like getting worse and worse. Like there was a girl named literally Tree, or like, yes. I mean, there were some really bad ones.
I'm telling you, he would get drunk, and by the end of the line, it was like, holy shit, whatever he comes up with, like, and that's going to be your name. Like, it's been 16 years. People still call me serious.
I can imagine so.
Like, I still go to the store with my 3-year-old, and people are like, serious? And it is, I can imagine being like, boots, you know, like, I'm 40 years old. Like, I don't want anybody in Whole Foods. Like, boots is you. Like, bro, chill. But, like, serious, okay, you know, I can live with
it. Yeah, that's so funny. All right, well, I'm going to do a little tiny shot with you because...
Hey, tiny shot.
Yeah, I'm stoked about this little shot glass. That's great. So I'm going to do a small one because it's only 5 o'clock where I am, which I guess technically 5 o'clock's late enough to start drinking, but
I mean, 5 o'clock usually.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I'm going to do a little baby one. All right. And I love the Tito's too. Tito's is great because it gets like, gives you like a nice little buzz, but you don't wake up with like a horrible hangover. So, it's pretty nice. So cheers, girl. Woo.
To the talk of love.
Thank you. Okay. Here's my question. So Flav obviously has an amazing personality. He is such a fun person. And I actually think he's a really sweet person too, from what I've seen.
Definitely.
I know he was a little concerned about whether or not you would be physically attracted to him, and he also brought up the age gap between the two of you. Did you get to a point where you were feeling feelings for Flav? Like, did you think this was something that you could, like, oh, maybe I could fall in love with this guy? Or were you just kind of being open-minded?
I was definitely being open-minded. You know, like, I have, I've always dated open-minded. I mean, I married open-minded. So I am definitely, I was open. You know, I knew coming in that there was more than like what met the eye. I mean, because the eye is a little questionable, you know, but like, I mean, the personality makes up for it in a lot of ways. And, but I'm also not one to jump in head first. Like, I would have loved to get to know him more. We went on I guess we're going to call it a date. We went on a date, not on camera, after the Flavor of Love reunion.
Oh, really?
And, I mean, he was cool. You know what I mean? Like, and he was cool. And I mean, it didn't click, you know, and that's fine. You know, that's why we date. But I mean, I was totally open to it. Like I said, I didn't come with any preconceived notions of like, you know, staying, oh, I just want to stay on the show for a long time, or, you know, like, I'm going to fall in love with this man. I was just there, and whatever happened, happened, and whatever didn't, did not.
I think that's a perfect way to word it. That's so cool that you went on a date with him after the show. How did that happen?
So we filmed the reunion, And I don't remember exactly what I was asked on the reunion, but it was to the tune of like, would you, you know, were you serious about Flav? And I was like, yeah, you know, like he was fucking cool. And he approached me afterwards and asked me, you know, like, how long are you going to be in, you know, on the West Coast? Maybe a couple days. And he's like, you know, let's link. Let's, you know, let's go out. And I mean, we just went out and had a couple drinks and laughed. And there are some pictures of us somewhere floating on the internet that someone took of us on this, you know, this date. But I mean, it was cool. It just wasn't, you know, it just wasn't in the stars. And one thing that I am totally about, this is my life's motto, is what will be, you know. Like, I don't press too much. I don't worry too much. You know, I'm just kind of going with the flow, and life is going to give me all of the amazing things because, you know, that's what I'm here for. That's what I was born for.
I think that is a really, really great attitude. And yeah, I do remember on the reunion show, he was saying to you like, oh, I kind of wish that I kept you longer and that sort of thing. One thing that I talk about a lot with my guests on this podcast is the producers. And I know that sometimes the producers, you know, they do have like the story producers that,
right,
you know, they do take what is actually happening, you know, and they roll with how things are naturally and organically occurring. But also they do have like their own, you know, thoughts and ideas of how they want things to go as well. So when you got eliminated, because you got eliminated early, and a lot of the fans were like, she was sent home too soon. Even Flav said on the reunion, I wish I'd kept you longer. Do you think that it was the producer's decision to send you home when they did? Or do you think that it was like just genuinely, you weren't romantically vibing? It was like more of a platonic thing with Flav. Do you think that was more his decision or the producer's, or do you even know?
I think it was more of a production thing. I mean, you know, Flavor of Love 1 was the first of its kind. You know, all of the things that came after it, the Of Love, the Love and Hip Hop, the Housewives, all of the things that kind of used that same kind of like, we're going to let them go, but we're going to put them in predicament, you know, kind of thing. Like Flavor of Love 1 was the groundwork for all of those. So I think that they were afraid of me in a way, you know, not knowing I wasn't I was a wild card, you know, like she could be, this could be good, you know, or she could just skate through, you know, with skimpy clothes through the whole thing. But we have to decide, you know, they had to make a decision. And I mean, it's refreshing to know that the fans think that the wrong decision was to be made. And, you know, Flav told me that he wished that he would have fought for me a little harder, you know, just when things came down, I think that he was making decisions, the producers were making decisions. Sometimes he was going along, sometimes they were going along. I think that it was more of the producers than him, but I think that he went along with it, and he regrets it. I mean, who wouldn't?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, so let me ask you this, and before I ask the question, I want to preface this by saying that I can relate to where you were coming from with the whole like modeling career thing. Cause as I said, you know, I was touring bands at the time, and I really wanted to make the viewers, the world aware, aware that I'm a musician. I'm not just like one of these other girls. I'm standing out for this reason.
Right.
I'm relating to Brett for this reason. So anytime I got a chance to like play guitar or hop on a drum kit or whatever, I was taking full advantage of that. And so it was also like, on the off chance that some, you know, somebody is watching the show and needs like a redheaded bass player or singer or whatever. And I actually did get a really good gig after the show where I ended up singing and touring with the band Lords of Acid. So it was like, I was going to put that out there. What's that?
Dope as fuck.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So I really wanted to put that out there. At the same time, I don't think it's mutually exclusive to go, are you there for Flav or are you there for your career? Because I think a lot of people, especially having done this podcast, I'm starting to realize how many people actually were going on like, yeah, I would have dated, you know, insert name here, but my career, I mean, I'm on television. Why not take full advantage of it? So that said though, I didn't fault you for mentioning, because also I feel like you were trying to go, I'm not just like some dumb hoe. I'm actually like got my shit together. I'm doing something.
Like I have a job. You know what I mean? Like Hottie's whole thing was like, my money, like, I'm trying to get to the money. I'm like, well, we got access, you know, like, I showed up here with access, you know, I'm not looking for access to anything he has. I am really just open-minded. Like, my career is great, you know, but I think that the thing that rubs me the wrong way, or, I mean, and this is just in general, and you'll understand because you're an entertainer as well, like, the pumpkin said she was a substitute teacher, like the exact amount of times that I said I was a model. It's problematic when it is a job that people like covet. You know, but if I was like, I'm the garbage man, nobody would be mad at that. You know, nobody would be reading into, you know, me saying that I was a garbage man, that I think I'm better than people because I'm the garbage man, that I think I have more access to anyone because I'm the garbage man. Like, it would just be, she loves her job, you know what I mean? She works a lot. You know, Pumpkin kept saying she was a substitute teacher and a cheerleading coach. Goldie said over and over again that she was a comedian, you know, that she was trying to be a comedian. But, you know, like, it's the jobs that are you know, that seem like a brag, that are a problem. You know, if I was a substitute teacher, then nobody would be like, I'm a substitute teacher. It would just be like, well, substitute on, bitch, you know, like, but model, it's like, you know, oh, she can play the drums, you know, she's here for, maybe I'm trying to up my substitute teaching gig.
Yeah, and clearly, I mean, I'll just put this out there. Clearly, there was definitely some jealousy and some, like, hater shit going on, like, clearly. I would say if I was going to give you a critique, the only thing where I would have said, like, hey, girl, like, maybe pull it back a little bit, what would be on your date when you brought up your portfolio. And only because I would imagine that I must have Brett Flav, that Flav was going, okay, this feels like, is this a sales pitch now? And so I could see why he got confused. Like, is she into me or is this, you know, that would be my only critique. But tell us about that.
Lacey, the producers told me to bring my fucking portfolio.
Oh, see, of course they did.
They told me to bring it with me. Like, I mean, like, who travels with a, you know, like, who goes to non-work related things with, like, a uniform, you know? Like, they told me to bring it with me, and then they told me to bring it on the date. You got his attention, you know? Like, make sure that he knows exactly what's going on, you know? Like, don't, you know, like, don't hide it. Like, make sure that he knows. And so, you know, I'm, again, not really thinking that, you know, not knowing that their job is to rock the boat, you know? Like, now they would have, I'd have been like, if he want to see it, then, you know, he'll ask.
Wow.
It's good. But they told me to bring it. And when I look back on it, it was like they were setting me up to be eliminated, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
And it's not the only time that I can look. I know that I was set up to be eliminated from Flavor of Love as well. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to catch it at that moment.
Wow, they are so sneaky and dirty sometimes. Like I love them and they're so good at what they do, but they are dirty sometimes. Damn.
So one thing that I tell people all the time is you got to remember what led to Flavor of Love. So in 2005, when Flavor of Love was casted, the writers in LA were on a strike.
Yep.
So they were attempting to create content that didn't need writers. And so Flavor of Love is perfect because you don't need anybody to script the show. You just need a good producer to say, let's shoot that from the other side. And the other side could be physically the other side. And the other side could also be, you know, metaphorically the other side. Let's go act. You know, Lacey, what Crystal said, and let's go ask Crystal what Lacey said, and then let's, you know, those things. And that's what they did. You know, like, I harbor no animosity for any of that experience. Well, for most of that experience. We can get into Monique whenever you're ready.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But
we're going to get into that.
The rest of, but Flavor of Love and the producers, like, they were doing their job, and they did that shit well. Because when I tell you, them motherfuckers made something out of nothing, They made something out of nothing. Flavor of Love 1 was walls that we couldn't touch because the wall, because it was just a piece of plywood up against us. Like, when I looked at, like, the Rock of Love, I was like, holy shit, like, they got these girls in some real shit. Like, but it was, they were, there was no budget. They were paying us based on the W-2s, well, the check stubs that we showed them before we went. That's how they were paying us. You know, like, everybody's per diem was all over the fucking, everybody's day rate was all over the place. Not enough. And I harbor absolutely no animosity towards any of the producers. Flav, Monique can kiss my ass in 2021. But everybody else, we're good.
Yeah. So are you saying that the girls didn't all get consistently paid the same amount? Everybody got paid something a little bit different?
No. Not to my knowledge. I was told that we were being paid differently. You know, we were being paid based on...
That is crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think about it now, and I'm like, you know, maybe they were bullshitting me. Maybe they weren't. I mean, unless somebody still has pay stubs from 2005 and want to pull them out, and we can, you know, line them up and see if everybody was being paid consistently. But, like, the shit's crazy, man. I mean, they literally made something out of nothing. And, I mean, you can't fault anybody for doing that.
That's so wild. I know on season one of Rock of Love, we got paid $100 per day that we were there. It was like nothing. For Charm School and the other ones, we were able to negotiate, or at least I was. But I talked to Pootie from I Love New York. He said they were getting paid $100 a day. So I thought that was kind of like the going rate, but it sounds like it was a little different for you ladies in the beginning.
I don't know that I would have potentially took off from my job, my actual job, for $100 a day. I don't know if I would have, okay, I'm bullshitting. I know that it wasn't 100. I didn't get $100 a day.
Wow. That's so crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
So maybe after they did, you know, the thing with you girls and they're like, wait a minute, we can just like pay them whatever the fuck ever. And also I think it took like Flavor of Love season one had to happen and had to be successful in order for season two, season three, Rock of Love,
right.
1, 2, and 3, I Love Money, Daisy of Love, I Love New York, like Flavor of Love 1
Loving
had
to happen. Loving Hip Hop, Real Houses of Atlanta, all of it, you know, like none of it would exist if you know, Flavor of Love didn't happen and if multiple seasons of people didn't take $100 a day, like there would be no current television. Like, so...
Yeah, so they probably had to pay you they probably had to give you girls whatever pay it took to get you on the show. And then once they go, oh, the show is successful now we can just give them like pennies. It doesn't matter because they already saw the success.
I wonder if it was like, hey, will you do it for $100? And it was like, yeah, cool. And they were like, bet, you're getting $100. Like, I don't ever remember I remember being asked how much I made on a regular basis. I remember maybe even sending them like check stubs, you know, or checks, you know. I remember, of course, I mean, it's been 15, 16 years, but like I have definitely, there was definitely correspondence about pay. Like, I don't remember how much I got paid, and I know it was not like my day rate by no means, but I don't know that I would have done it for $100 a day.
Yeah, I mean, and it was like you can't pay your bills with that.
I ate off of this, you know, like I worked 7 days a week, you know, like I worked a lot, you know, and I don't know that I would have potentially taken off. I don't remember how many weeks. I believe Flavor of Love was filmed in like 2 or 3 weeks, but I don't know that I would have agreed to 20 days of $100 a day at that point in my life. Like, I was 30 music videos in, so I don't know that $100 a day would have,
right,
you know, would have been like,
right,
oh, you know, so, you know, I'll take 20 days off to make $100 a day.
Yeah, you know, it's you can't pay anything with that kind of money. Well, let me ask you this, getting back into Flavor of Love, I want to ask you, I know you didn't get to spend a lot of one-on-one time with Flav, but the one date that you guys had where it was just you and him, how much do you remember of that, and how much can you tell us about how that went?
So I don't remember a ton. I remember what I had on. Because I'm good for a fashion moment. Sergio Hudson, by the way. Did you see Michelle Obama at the inauguration?
Yes.
Awesome. So, yeah, I remember what I had on. But I don't remember a lot about the date. I feel like, I felt like when I got there, I was like, he smoked before he got here. You know, and it is hard to date when you're on two different drugs. Like, you know,
yes.
Like, he smokes, I'm drinking tequila, I'm on the upper, he's on the downer. This isn't really, like, flexing for real, but I don't remember a ton. But I do remember what I had on.
Well, I would imagine, actually, I do remember, you always looked gorgeous on that. And yes, Michelle Obama, by the way, looked amazing on the inauguration.
Amazing. I mean, because Sergio Hudson is an amazing motherfucking designer. Like, this is fucking bananas. That's what this awesome. Man can do with some thread and shit.
So one other thing that I noticed, and a lot of the fans of the show noticed as well, they were talking about this in the comments, was you seem to be one of the only girls that didn't really get into it with New York. And it was interesting because she seemed to like, or at least not that we like, directly saw, because she was really getting into it with every single person there. And I understand also that was her MO. But what can you talk about? What can you remember as far as like what might have gone down that we didn't see? And how did you cope with that kind of intense personality?
So I was probably one of the last people that New York tried. And I remember being like, girl, I'm not the one, you know, like this is camera time and all of this, but like I'm from Detroit in real life, and I give not less than a damn about this show, you know. So like, I see you trying to get your camera time, but like, you're not gonna get it over here.
You wouldn't take the bait.
Move on with your day. And New York at the reunion, New York really tried to be friendly. Like, I remember her being like, hey, and I'm like, we're not friends, you know. I mean, but I can, in retrospect, I can respect what she did, but I don't think I had, you know, I can't remember. I mean, Safari, but she's, you know, like, I don't remember having too many kind of negative interactions with, that's not my style, you know, like, I'm here to slay, not to play, you know, like, y'all want to scream and yell and call each other bitches and hoes, like,
yeah,
no, thank you.
So, yeah, you definitely seem to have way more class and to get involved in that, and there is definitely a kind of empowering feeling of not taking the bait when someone's trying to bait you into a confrontation.
Right.
And so the fact that you didn't take the bait is incredibly impressive.
So it's a lot easier to do when, you know, I mean, this is a random, like, she doesn't know my triggers. You know, this is, she's going around a room trying it. You know, you're ugly. Okay. That doesn't mean any shit to you. Okay. You're ugly. That doesn't mean shit to you. Like, I guess it's just not my style. You know, like, you can kind of tell, if I'm not emotionally involved, then I can always excuse myself from, you know, unpersonalized drama. You have to write my name on it. And I'm not just, you know, general, like, no, girl. Like, the shade has to be direct. And it has to be correct. And she didn't know me well enough. Or, I mean, none of these girls know me well enough for this to even be, you know, a thing. So, bye, girl. And again, I had been in the industry for years. So, you know, you deal with the cattiness and the jealousy and the, you know, just trying to knock you off your game. And you gotta really be a special one to be able to knock me off my game. You know?
It's a really, really great way to be, especially in this kind of environment.
Right. And
like on my show on Rock of Love, I was definitely very much like the villain and the instigator. And one girl that I couldn't rattle and I totally respected her for it was Brandy M. And it was like, I kind of went at her a couple of times and she was just like, I always compare it to like, if you're playing tug of war with somebody, if somebody wants to play tug of war with you because they want to you know, pull on the rope and knock you down into the mud, whatever. And if you pick up that rope, then you're now potentially vulnerable to that. But if you just like let go of the rope and set it down, then your opponent is just standing there with the rope going like, come back, you know, come fight with me. And if you just don't take the bait, then like, then you gain power in the situation. You win. Yeah. And that's what Brandy M did with me on Rock of Love. And it sounds like that's what you did with New York, which is like really, really very mature and very cool.
I am a middle child, you know, so yeah, I'm a middle child. I have an older sister and a younger sister. So yeah, I've been dealing with bitches my whole life. Like, you know, I mean, I get it, but like, you know, not today, Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. That totally makes sense. So let's get into, I want to get into Charm School, but before we do, did you watch the show back? Did you watch Flavor Love back after, or once it aired?
So I watched the very first episode with my mom when it aired on January 1st, 2006. And I watched it and I remember being like, well, this is not something that I would typically watch. So, and I was there, so I know what happened and I didn't watch anymore. When it was time for the reunion, they had to send me a tape of everything that had happened because I just hadn't watched it. Like I was, you know, uninterested and booked and busy as well. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really watch it. Charm School, on the other hand, well, Charm School, I didn't watch. I saw Charm School for the first time after I agreed to this interview.
Oh, really? Oh my gosh.
In its entirety. Like I watched up until the point that I was eliminated and then I was good after that. Like, again, this
you
is
weren't
not
even
something
curious
that I'm interested in.
About who won or anything.
It's not my thing, you know. It's not my thing.
Interesting.
And I'm not going to make any exceptions because, you know, I used to be there. Like, yeah. It's some interesting shit, man.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of Charm School, at what point did the producers approach you and say, hey, do you want to do this? And what did they tell you about the show? Like, did you walk in blind, not knowing what you're, like, how much did you know walking in?
So it was like, you know, rehabilitation for a second chance for the girls that had, you know, had shown their ass on Flavor of Love. And, okay, cool. You know, I had already, like, fucked up so many other opportunities, you know, by being on Flavor of Love. It was like, why fucking not? And so I did Charm School. I don't feel like I walked into it blind for the most part. I think that I believed, at least the first day or so, that they were actually trying to, like, help us. And then I got there and was like, no, bitch, this is a television show. Like, they're just trying to make good TV. And I'm glad that I realized it when I did, because I really could have, fucked myself up a lot worse had I not.
That's interesting. And so you said you brought up Monique a couple of times. I will tell you, every person I have had on this podcast so far, there is not one person, at least not that I can remember, who spoke favorably of Monique. And in fact, somehow Monique keeps my podcast is like doing okay. It's like it's getting there. But somehow Monique keeps finding out about my little podcast every single time anybody mentions her name. It's like Beetlejuice, like you say her name and she appears. And
she probably got Google alerts from boredom.
Well, I think also, I think people were like tagging her, but I mean, she has a lot of traffic on Instagram. I'm like, how the hell did she see my little podcast? Somebody tagged her or whatever. But anyway, I've had multiple people on and I actually had a producer on who like was spilling some tea on her. And then she like actually went through to his boss or his boss's boss or something. And then he had to call me up and be like, hey, so Monique is like making everybody's life miserable. So I had to delete that out because I promised him that if he came on my podcast, I would like keep it cool for him, you know? And it's just wild to me. It's wild. Like she cannot, if you're in the public eye, you have to expect that there will be criticism and she just cannot accept any kind of criticism. And it's like, girl, like you weren't the nicest person to these girls on Charm School. And if some of them had a negative experience, let them talk about their experience. Like, who are you to shut down their experiences? I mean, nobody's slandering her, you know, they're just talking about their personal experience with Monique and she is just not having it. So So I will say this to you, like, you know, if she finds out about this podcast, which she might have some shit to say. So if you want to censor yourself, feel free. If you don't give a fuck, then don't worry about it. But I don't give a fuck. But it's a bummer. But anyway, that said, the consensus is generally the same across the board. People have had a difficult time with Monique and even thought she was kind of toxic in some of her way of treating people.
Okay. So when we filmed Charm School, I was 24 years old. And after Charm School was my first introduction to therapy. I needed therapy after dealing with Monique.
Wow.
She can censor that if she wants to. But I won't say that Monique was the first person, of course not, you know, to kind of deliver the vitriol that I experienced from her. But I had never really experienced it from a person whose role it was supposed to be as leading, as, you know, like she was supposed to be helping.
She was in a position of power, too.
You got all the power, you know, and like your job is literally, or I mean, it's, even when the cameras were off and she'd come and speak to us, it would always be on like some sister, you know, like I really want y'all to be better and, you know, all of that bullshit. And I fed into it, you know. After Flavor of Love, I mean, after Charm School, I definitely went and spoke to a therapist for the first time, you know. And it's not wrong with that bitch. Like Monique has, I really hope that since then, I know that she's lost a ton of weight. And usually when you start making health changes, it means that you're making... Well, I hope that you're making changes to your mental health and other things as well. I really hope so. Because when I'm able to look back at it, like, man, she had to really be fucked up. You know, like, hurt people.
Yes.
And, you know, Oscars don't make it better. You know, losing weight doesn't make it better. Opening your marriage doesn't make it better. Writing a cookbook doesn't make it better. Banning, you know, boycotting Netflix doesn't make it better. You really got to take your ass to therapy, you know. So I really hope, you know, I mean, my hope is that she did. I absolutely did because it was really toxic, you know, and not in just a like, kiki, this is reality television, we're all just here for the cameras kind of way. But like, yo, it's really something wrong with this bitch. And she really doesn't care that she is impacting people in this capacity. It's, you know, I am probably still younger than Monique was when she was the, you know, the headmistress at Charm School. And I couldn't imagine, even in a reality television kind of way, like taking a role like that and not taking it seriously, not making sure that the people that I was mentoring or helping were not, you know, if I can't help you, then I'm definitely not going to make you any worse. If I can't, you know, leave it better than I started, then, you know, like, it'll be the same. And woo, Monique, holy fucking shit. Like,
wow. Monique, well, you know, yeah. I, as a viewer of that show, I recognize that, you know, similar to how Sharon Osbourne was on our show,
right.
These were people that were huge celebrities, especially compared to
right.
us. They
right.
were the heads of Charm School. So they were in a position of power and
right.
they were there for, you know, whether it was, you know, a fun fictional television story or if it was real life, either way, they are in charge of helping, as you said, to make us ladies into better
right.
people. And so as a viewer of your show, of Charm School with the Flavor of Love girls, the vibe I was getting was I felt like Monique was, instead of being, you know, maybe giving constructive criticism or that sort of thing, which is acceptable, it was more so degrading and derogatory and belittling. And then for me, the final was calling Brooke Pumpkin the whore of Charm School. And right. So now, given the fact that I was on A Rock of Love, I'm not a stranger to the slut shaming that went on my show. But the slut shaming that went on was peer to peer. It wasn't somebody in a giant, you know, a giant celebrity in a position of power, a woman calling another woman who was beneath her in status a whore. And so yes, you know, depending on how you view that word or how you think women should or shouldn't behave, you know, Brooke was like fooling around with the guys and maybe had a little bit too much to drink. You know, I feel like all of us have been there at one point in our life or another. And the fact that instead of like going, like pulling her aside and saying like, hey, that's not appropriate behavior or that could catch up to you in a negative way, to label her the whore of charm school, that to me, I was like, I'm done. I can't anymore with Monique. Cause that was, that's like woman hating shit. If you are in a position of power as she was, and I was really like floored by that one.
So the same thing that I said about the producers, like, I understand this is a show, you know, like you're making something out of nothing. There's going to be some comments, some flick shit in there, you know, but Monique would come and speak to us individually. And it was way worse than anything they showed on television. It's like,
really? Can you give examples?
Bitch, you're not even being paid for this. This is extra. You know what I mean? Like, you over here on your free time being a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, you're over here in your free time being toxic, you know? And it is hard even still to this day, like, because I put myself in her shoes. And it's like, okay, you know, you want the check. You are already famous. You know, you want to make good TV. But do you make sure that as who you are, do you leave these girls worse than they started out? You know, if you can identify, even just for a moment, yo, these are young girls that are misled. You know, let me make sure that they are not extra misled when they're done with my ass. You know, like, that's some bullshit. You know, and that is adult mature Crystal looking back on it. And I, you know, I hope that, you know, like I said, she's lost a lot of weight. So I hope that she's taking care of her mental health as well, you know, and it is matching the weight loss and the other things that, you know, and that is kind of caught up with, you know, everything is running simultaneously. But it was, I mean, it was a fucking experience and not just the things that were shown on TV. Monique was a fucking lot, you know, and I definitely took my black ass to therapy afterwards. And I mean, it was definitely one of the best things I've ever done for myself. But I hate, you know, you hate the person that got you to the point where it's like, yo, I need therapy.
Of course. Yeah. That is a lot. And she had, I mean, to be calling you girls bitches when you are also there to make a good television show and to bring the drama, and the producers encourage that. You know, to be totally honest with you, I am being an armchair, you know, psychologist at this point and what I'm about to say, but I was getting narcissist vibes from her. The having to put people down all the time, having to put people, you know, make sure that they stay down here if she's up here, the inability to hear or accept criticism without coming after all the people who criticize her. I mean, if I went after every single person who ever criticized me, if I went after them online and told them to retract what they said or delete their comment or delete their video about me, I'd be doing, this would be a full-time job for me. I'm like, I've accepted. People are going to like me. They're not going to like me. It's none of my business what other people feel about me. And I'm just going to do my thing. The fact that Monique, I mean, she's come after me in this podcast multiple times, you know, it's...
Maybe you're doing something right. She's fucking bored, you know, and I hope that she takes, if she is, like, I hope that she seeks some mental, you know, health.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very, very well said. Okay. So let's move on from Monique. I want to talk about, actually, you know what, before I ask my questions, I just don't want to forget. I've got some fan questions from Instagram. Brooke F says, how do you feel about the debate challenge and how everything went down? And I will just, I'll throw in my two cents as well. It did look very much look like, you know, the girls, some of the girls were like really after you, namely like Becky and Safiri. And I was trying to figure out why they were coming so hard on you. And it seemed like it was kind of spearheaded by Becky and the other ones were kind of following suit. That's what it looks like from my angle. And it also seems like it was a, was it a retaliatory thing? Because you had had some one-on-one time with Monique before that. And I think Becky had mentioned something in the confessionals about how like that wasn't fair that you went to Monique to talk to her about, you know, some shit that happened in the previous challenge. Was it just like a retaliation thing or was she just gunning for you for whatever reason?
Lacey, I have to say this. I watched quite a few episodes of your podcast before this. And one thing that I have to commend other people that you have interviewed, they remember this shit like it was yesterday. I have lived like 12 more lives since that. I don't even remember a debate challenge.
Like, oh, really? Well, that's good.
I don't. And I wish I had an answer.
You are unbothered.
I'm sure if I watch it, it would like refresh the shit, but like.
Yeah, you're like textbook definition of unbothered. That's like, that's pretty cool, actually.
Like, I don't recall this at all.
Well, basically, they were having you sit out. And you didn't want to sit out because you're like, I can do this challenge. I can debate. I can do a good job. And they essentially wouldn't let you do it. They one person had to be sidelined. But what was really fucked up is that the person who was sidelined was still up for elimination, which I didn't think that was really fair. But yeah.
So one thing that I went into charm school, or once I got there, and on the first day, I realized that this is for TV. Like, they're not actually, maybe day two, they're not actually trying to help us, you know. So I realized that I was going to be set up for elimination. You know, even with days that I felt like I did well, you know, or like I flew under the radar, I would still be like, and they're probably going to put me up for elimination. You know, I mean, what better person to hate, you know, what better person to eliminate? So, you know, I mean, they did what they had to do. Where are they now?
Where are like the other girls, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Are they doing so much better than me? And I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think everybody, a lot of them like left entertainment. To be honest, I think a lot of people were sort of traumatized by the whole experience as well. And a lot of them just kind of like went on and, you know, definitely
it
some people.
Fell off, right.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I feel like a lot of people thought that the girls on Charm School were just kind of like hating on you because you're the pretty one and you really didn't like engage in a lot of drama. So there was a lot of that.
Them well then. I wish them well now. You know, I don't have it. Like, you know, I mean, I'm bothered. You know,
it's a really.
I might have cried in the moment, but then I went home and was like back to, you know, my regular life that was not that fucking bad. You know, like
yeah,
I had an incredible not VH1 life. You know, so
I love it. I love it. So if you can remember, I want to talk about the challenge where you guys...
The dress?
Yes, because
dress?
That was fucked
up.
No,
I remember that.
Yeah, because that was so fucked because you genuinely were like, okay, well, maybe I'm going to pull back on the I'm a model thing. And also, I feel like you were like, I'm going to give somebody else a chance. I'm not going to just take that spot because I can.
Right.
I'm going to give somebody else a spot. And then that got used against you. And you even said in the confessionals, like, I'm either damned if I do or damned if I don't. And we as the viewers agreed with you.
Yeah. I remember going to, it might have been the producers. I don't think I went to Monique after that challenge. Or I think it was during, like, after they introduced the challenge. Just being like, hey, look, you guys. Like, or I think it was after the challenge. Being like, hey, you know, like, I recognize what you guys are trying to do here. And I know that I was supposed to be, like, this was supposed to be my time to shine. But what I couldn't do was go and do this runway and then y'all criticize me after I talked about how great of a model
yes.
I was. You guys
know
I'm terrible. You know, right, it was going to happen. And this, again, this was me realizing that this was television, you know, and that no matter how well I did, they were going to say, is this what we were waiting for? You know, is this what you've been talking about this whole time? And I just couldn't risk not being able to pay my bills once I left this fun thing that we're doing for a couple weeks. You know, like, this is my real job. Like, after Pumpkin spit on New York, she was no longer a substitute teacher. You know, like, her life dramatically changed because she got, you know, fed into a couple weeks of something. And I just couldn't afford it. You know, I'm like, man, this is how I eat. This is how I pay my bills. My little sister is about to go to college. You know, like, I want to buy her a car. Like, I can't let you guys play with my bag.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, and I mean, it makes sense if I'm the egomaniac and everything's about me and I'm the model. What you guys supposedly have me here for is to dial back. You know, it's to give somebody else a chance. It's to shut the fuck up, you know. And now I'm trying to do it, and you're like, wrong answer. So, again, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Let me tell you what Crystal doesn't do anymore. I pick the one that better serves me because, I mean, it's life, you know. Like,
yeah,
do
absolutely.
You, because there's always going to be somebody with a problem.
Well, and also I thought it was funny that some of the girls were like, oh, she just, you know, here she is making it about herself. And I'm thinking like, but Charm School is literally about making it about yourself. That's literally what Charm School is. It's about self-reflection and focusing on what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses. It is literally, it couldn't be more about anybody else than the show Charm School. It's about you. It's about yourself. So I thought that was a dumb thing. I felt like they were just kind of like looking for any little loose thread of what they could ride on, and that was it.
Right. And when they got there, and it was like, they are going to fuck up my career, I was like, you know what? Y'all got it. Cool. You know, if you want to send me home off this one, like, you know, I cried at the end of Flavor of Love. I felt bad. But if this is the place that you're going to send me home, then I am at peace with it.
Smart. I think that's incredibly, yeah. I'm really glad I heard your angle on that, because that of course makes sense. You're not going to, you know, as terribly as you and a lot of the other girls were being treated, you're not going to subject yourself to harsh criticism on the one thing that is yours, which is all the hard work you've put into this career that you've built. It completely
right.
makes sense. It totally makes sense. One thing I thought was really cool though was, in spite of that, when you and Safiri were on the carpet and it was as you're being eliminated. Now, I don't blame Safiri for this because she was fighting for her life. So I got where she was coming from.
Right.
But when she was really kind of like throwing you under the bus on saying to Monique why Safiri should stay and you should leave, one thing I thought was really cool was at the moment that you got expelled, the first thing you did was you turned around and you gave Safiri a hug. And I was like, That's cool, but I didn't really understand where it was coming from, but it was cool.
So if I believe in nothing else, I believe in God. I believe in karma, you know, and I mean, there's no hard feelings. I know what she was trying to do and why she was trying to do it. I mean, she talked about being homeless and, you know, like where she lived had no floors. I can't imagine what that's like. You know, I've never lived in squalor or where, you know, you're worried about if you're going to be able to, you know, today's the day you're going to be evicted. Like, I don't know what that's like, you know. So I don't know what the fight would be like, you know, inside of me, what I would say or do about another person if my life depended on it. You know, my life wasn't depending on Charm School, you know. And when I left, I just wanted to make sure, you know, even if she wasn't going to be receptive, that my karma was good. Girl, it ain't no hard feelings. Good luck.
That's
more power
awesome.
To you. You know, and who better to lose to than the winner?
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a really respectable attitude and behavior to have. And, you know, and also I feel like when people get eliminated, or even if it's like other reality shows where people are sent home, if it's like an elimination style show, I feel like when people leave and they're just like, whatever, fuck this and fuck all of you. And, you know, it's called being a sore loser, you know, and it never yeah. makes a person look good. You never look at a sore loser and be like, that person looks like an awesome, you know,
right.
like a badass.
That's
no one
what
ever
I'm
says that.
When I lose.
Yeah. So the fact that you did that, it just went to show how much, like, you know, I guess maybe you didn't need Charm School. It was funny because the reason was that, you know, you hadn't changed or whatever, but that was one of the most like honorable, cool things by turning around and hugging her and going like, we're good. I thought that was amazing, you know, and so rare.
I mean, that is who I am. Those are not skills that I picked up in Charm School. You know, I hope everyone that I touch has an incredible life journey after we part ways. It is what it is. I hope that, you know, that you've learned something and that I can take something with my journey. And I mean, ain't no hard feelings. I hope that, you know, she never has to worry about her landlord evicting her ever again. You know, I don't have any.
That's really nice.
She's fighting for her life. You know?
Absolutely. Well, just talking to you, I can tell that you have a ton of compassion in you. So that said, was it difficult for you? Did you ever have any kind of inner conflict at some of the way some of the other girls were treated? Like, for instance, Dara, like that, like I felt like she kind of got, you know, she was given a hard time in multiple instances, especially with the challenge that we just got done talking about with the fashion show challenge and some of the other girls too. What were your thoughts on the different girls and how people were like, what was your thoughts on just like the overall vibe of the house? Did you end up like finding yourself feeling sorry for girls that were being kind of beaten up on, or what were your thoughts on all this?
And so I think in a typical situation, like I probably would have felt bad for Dara and bad for Laylene and bad for Heather and, you know, some of the other girls that really got beat up. But one thing that I absolutely had to remember after going from Flavor of Love to Charm School was that these girls are signing up for this. You know, this is, you've experienced, you know what the fuck this is. You know, none of us are going into this blind for a second time. So, you know, like, I hate that they're on Dara like this, but she knew what she was getting into. You know what I mean? Like, she signed up for it this time. Flavor of Love, you know, round one, the compassion is there. The second round is like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on, this is fool me
twice. That's a good point.
You know, so, you know, at this point, you know that this is, you know what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, that completely makes sense to me. So after the show, did you get asked to do I Love Money, or did you have any, like, did you continue talking to the producers after Charm School?
I did. I kept in contact, and here's a little known fact. So after Flavor of Love, the producers reached out and told me that they were going to do a spinoff show. And they were interested to shoot a pilot episode with me. And they're like, we're also shooting a pilot episode with Hottie for the same concept. And clearly, they scrapped both of them and did I Love New York.
So they were going to do a show with Hottie, you said?
They were either going to do Hottie or me. You know, like they
oh, really? Oh, you were going to get your own show. Oh.
They called me and asked me, would I be interested in a spinoff show? Then I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. And they told me that they were also shooting, they were going to shoot the pilot with Hottie. And I wonder if, have you interviewed Hottie yet?
I have, but I'm going to have to go back and listen and see if we talked about this, because I interviewed her last
year. I wonder if she'll talk about it, but they end up scrapping it all for I Love New York. And this was very early. This was maybe like 3 or 4 episodes in, they called and asked me about this. And so then I Love Money came up, and I was going to do I Love Money. I moved out of I got married in 2017, and I moved out of the house that I had been in before Flavor of Love, and I found the unsigned contract for I Love Money.
Oh, wow.
And I got it, and I just couldn't bring myself to sign it.
Really? Oh, wow. And it was just too much.
I just couldn't bring myself to, you know, I mean, again, fool me once, shame on you, you know, fool me twice, fool me 3 times, you know, so at that point,
you would have been amazing on I Love Money.
I mean, I never watched any of it, but I definitely, you know, remember like the hype around it. And being like, man, like this could have been, you know, really cool. Like everybody's in a bikini. That's what's up, you know. But like, I don't have any regrets. Like my life has definitely followed the path in which it was supposed to. You know, like I am incredibly happy, And I don't know if, you know, I Love Money would have been the butterfly wings to change anything that I have now. So, you know, it is what it is. And maybe, you know, maybe I have been, I've definitely been in a cave for the last, you know, 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
You know,
you kind of disappeared from social media a little bit.
I did. And, you know, so maybe, you know, maybe there's more left. We'll see.
Yeah. So I asked you before the interview if you were comfortable with me bringing this up, and you said yes.
Excellent.
Okay. So you're awesome. So I know that a lot of us, I myself included, have had crazy shit. TMZ wrote some crazy shit about me. It's just kind of like just part of it. And so when I was Googling you to research, you know, what your life has been since the shows, I saw an article that was basically comparing you to Heidi Fleiss and was insinuating that you were a madam and that there was an investigation into you, that you were running like a brothel or something to that degree. Do you know the article of which I'm referring to? And can you give some context to this?
I am. So I probably learned about it the same way everybody else has. I mean, someone sent it to me right around the time when it happened. And the crazy thing is I just applied for the first like job in my life, like a couple weeks before that. And I was petrified that they were going to Google me and see that I was Heidi Fleiss. There is absolutely no, there's not even a basis. You know, first of all, I am feminist 101. Like, I mean, if we're going to run some game on some men, then we're all going to do it as independent contractors. There's not going to be any, I mean, if y'all need me for something, let me know. But like, there's definitely not going to be any, like, here's your assignment, you know, like ever. I mean, this it's crazy to even think. There's no basis for it whatsoever. But I mean, it at that point showed me just how interested people still were, you know, where you'll just completely pull shit out of your ass, you know. And I mean, cool story, bro, but like,
no,
not even based in reality.
Wow, I can't believe that this person would. I mean, I can, but that is really going far-fetched. Did you ever consider, I mean, that is slander. Did you ever consider going at that? I know hiring a lawyer and all that is so expensive and kind of messy, but did you feel like anger towards that somebody would target you in that way?
So, like I said, I was petrified that, you know, this new opportunity that I had, you know, like, revved up my engine to get was going to be diminished by, you know, this total falsehood. But, you know, one thing that being in the industry for 10 or 15 years will tell you is sometimes fighting it adds more attention than it would ever get on its own. You know,
that's a good
like it's a
point.
Blog.
Yes.
It's a blog that no one reads, that no one read at the height of its popularity. They tried it, you know, but like, if I sue them, then it's going to make this a big thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or not even a big thing. It's going to make it a thing because it was not even a thing, you know, unless you Google me, then, I mean, this is not even a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, I think this is a very mature, really great attitude, you know, once again, unbothered. So I think that's kind of how you have to be. That's awesome. So did you ever talk to any of the girls after the show? Was there anybody you kept up with, even like via social media, or did you just kind of just let it all go?
So for the vast majority, I definitely let it all go. I mean, Flavor of Love for me was like, or reality television was just something that kind of happened in, you know, a scheme of lots of things that, you know, lots of amazing things that have happened in my life. But I did, Pumpkin and I used to be really fucking cool. Like, I probably came to, she's from Bakersfield. I'm not sure she's still there, but I definitely came to Bakersfield to stay for like 2 weeks one time.
Oh, really?
And,
oh, my God. That's
you know,
awesome.
Met her family and stayed at her house and, you know, cooked for her mom. And Pumpkin and I were really, really cool. You know, we did like, I remember doing like a full photo shoot. Like, I mean, we had a good time, you know, but I'm sure she's probably the only person that if there was like some Flavor of Love 20 year reunion that I would be really excited to see, because we did form a bond on Flavor of Love and Charm School a bit as well. Well, definitely as well. And then, you know, like we spent external time, but that's, you know, the extent of, you know, that
that's
story.
That's really cool. You know, I know Pumpkin has a lot of fans and a lot of haters, and right. And I get it, but I will say I've been talking to Pumpkin for about 6 months now, specifically about coming onto the podcast, but we just kind of ended up like becoming friends and talking about all kinds of other stuff too. And I really like Pumpkin. She's been very sweet to me. She seems like a sweet, fun girl.
Real.
You know,
real.
I love that. That's awesome. I love hearing that. Yeah. So then what was your reason for kind of laying low on social media? Were you just busy with your life, or were you doing that on purpose, trying to get like the attention off of you, or what was the reason for that?
So I just wanted something different, you know, something different that I felt like everything that I had already been doing would not end it, you know? And so I woke up one day, wasn't like some planned thing, like on May 13th, I'm going to cut my social media off. I woke up one day and I deleted the apps, and that was just kind of that. And so I not only did I quit social media, like I quit everything, you know, and I just started a whole new life, man. At some point, you know, like when you live as wild and crazy as, you know, I mean, I know that, you know, like somebody that becomes an entertainer in their early 20s, like at some point you really do have to take a break. And, you know, like, I just woke up one day and took a break.
That's
great.
Yeah, just focus on you and other things. I think that's I think that shows how self-reflective and introspective you are.
Yeah.
I love that. So it sounds like things are going great. So you said you're married now. I would like, what does life look like for you today?
So I am, lots of people always ask me, do I still model? I am a housewife.
Nice.
Like I am a total housewife. I am, my focus is on my son. My son's 3. He's amazing. We're learning Mandarin together.
Nice.
And we spend tons of time in nature. And, you know, we pray and do yoga and, you know, and learn real shit, you know, like, I mean, but I get to be a mother, and I didn't know if, you know, like anybody can sign up for reality television. Anybody can get a college degree. Anybody can take pictures. You know, I did all of that, but becoming a mother is what I've been doing, you know, and the years between the last time that you guys have seen me and becoming a mother, I was just prepping my life to be who I get to be to my son today, you know, and also a wife.
I love that. That makes me so happy to hear. I know I've had Megan from Rock of Love on the podcast, and she's like a full-time mom as well, and loves her son and being a mother.
Right.
So I'm so happy for you that you found, you know, your man, your stability, in order to get to be a mom and have a family and live your best life. I think that's amazing. And it makes me really happy to hear all of that.
Yeah. I mean, so many people put so much emphasis on the man, you know, and like, they're great, but it's really you, you know, like once you decide that you're going to change your life, then, you know, like the kid and whatever else, you know, will come, you know, but like, it's never about a man ever, you know, like it's all like, I am the master of my own destiny always. And I mean, it's been an incredible life journey. Whatever's next is going to be great. You know, the things in the past are incredible. What can I say?
Well, I'm so happy to hear all of this. And Crystal, I got to say, you are just an amazing woman. You are gorgeous. You're definitely giving me like J-Lo, Jada Pinkett Smith vibes for sure. Like you just look fantastic.
Well, the last time this particular dress was worn, it was J-Lo's. So, you know, I'm exuding the vibes. But yeah, the last time this one was worn. But yeah, I'm committed to my own peace.
I love that. It's a healthy way to be.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other way to be.
Nice. If fans want to find you on social media, do you have a place for them to come find you, or are they just going to have to watch you on this podcast?
So that is the, when I told my former business manager and I started telling, you know, all of my former team who are still friends that I was going to do this podcast, they were, you know, it was like, why, you know, where are we going with this? And I don't know, you know, but if you want to figure that out with me, then I have, I am going to start a website. So it's loveserious.com. And I'm going to figure out what is next. If anybody has any ideas, I am definitely open to them. But I mean, you know, we'll connect. You know, I am, my former Instagram is Crystal the Great, C-R-I-S-T-A-L the Great. And, you know, maybe I'll pick it back up, you know, but, we'll see. Definitely, you know, check out the website once it gets up. We're going to, once I realize that, like, Flavor Love is not going anywhere, like, this is going to be a forever thing, I have decided to re-release the t-shirt.
Nice.
So, you know, for the culture, we're going to donate some of the proceeds to charity. I'm big in environmentalism. Nice. And so the organization called Eco Action, we're going to donate their 100% organic cotton, like, we're going all the way. But I don't know, you know, and if I have any, like, motivational shit to say before I leave is, after becoming a mother, it's okay not to know what's next. You know, it's okay to figure yourself out and it not to be a perfect-looking thing. That's where I am, you know. So maybe I'll become serious all over again, you know. Or maybe I'll just, you know, think back into motherhood, but, you know, if you want to find out together, loveserious.com.
Well, I like the fact that you're open-minded. And before I hang up with you, I want to ask you about the background. It looks like you have some, like, clothing and some mannequins.
Oh, shit! Okay, so listen. So I am, like, a hoarder of memories. So I want to show you a couple things. So
okay. This
is the swimsuit that I wore in the hot tub with Flav.
Nice! That's so cool!
It's by a designer. It's by a designer named Rico Chappelle. He is absolutely fucking fabulous, totally fucking Googleable. But he made this for a photo shoot. We never used it, and I took it on a whim to Flavor of Love and ended up wearing it. I mean, clearly, it's nothing. But also, again, I am a hoarder of things, so I've got to show you guys this.
It is super sexy, though.
I am the only, I mean, if someone else has one of these, Lacey, please text me when they bring it. But I have a original Flavorgram.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. I'm so glad you grabbed that.
I also have my original name tag.
That's so rad.
Can you guys see that? And
yes.
The flower that Flav gave me.
That's so cool. I love this.
My charm school bag.
Nice.
A piece of our skirt.
Oh.
And these are steals from the commercial we shot. And we had a big billboard at one point that was in LA, just such a big deal, like pictures. But I am such a hoarder I have so many memories and things. And I'm going to upload them all to the site. So, you know, like, if you want to see my actual, I have still my clock, you know, such incredible memories, like such. This has definitely made me realize how just amazing life is, man. And wherever you are and whatever you do, make sure you document it, you know, for the kids, and also so that when you're old, even if it's just 15 years later, you can look back and say, holy fucking shit, I was there, you know.
I love that. I love that. You were definitely, like, you know, part of that OG pack who was the originator of all these Of Love shows. You were, you know,
right.
Of Love season one. So that's so cool. I love it. Well, Crystal, thank you so, so much for taking time out, spending it with me. I really appreciate it. I know that everyone's going to be so stoked to see you and to hear from you. So we just all appreciate you so much.
No problem. It has absolutely been my pleasure, Lacey. Keep rocking the fuck out. Like, this is so cool what you're doing. And, you know, I wish you just much success. And just thank you to everybody that has, you know, continued to love this thing that we created out of nowhere. Man, it means the world.
Absolutely, 100%. Well, girl, I wish you all the best. Take care. And let's definitely stay in touch. And I love my shirt. And again, I appreciate you for sending that. It's awesome. Love my shirt and love my shot glass. That was super thoughtful. I love it. I'm going to hang on to this. Bye.
Bye.
All right. That was so much fun. What an amazing person. I really, really like her a lot. It's always really fun for me when I have guests on who I really enjoy their attitude and their outlook on life, but are just fun to talk to. So that was really cool. I'm really happy that she's doing so well. Happy that she came on the podcast. So I want to apologize. I can see that we definitely had some internet issues that was affecting the video and the quality. As I said at the beginning of this podcast episode, you guys literally have a front seat to my whole learning curve and learning all the like the engineering and the technical stuff. So I will continue to improve the podcast, but I appreciate you guys for being so supportive and watching me through this whole journey. So that said, I didn't melt completely. So I'm happy that even though it's 1,000 degrees in this room, I'm still in some kind of human unmelted form, which is always a good thing. What else? Also, I want to give a shout out to the contributors. As always, you guys are amazing. It's the contributors who literally make this podcast happen. So thank you so much to all of you guys. And I also want to thank all of you who have been watching the show, who have subscribed, who've liked. You guys are amazing. If you're interested in becoming a contributor and you want to check out what kind of rewards are offered, it's very easy. All you got to do is go to the website, which is talkoflove.net/contribute. And from there, you can sign up and start getting your rewards. And to everybody else, thank you so much for your continued support, your continued loyalty. Love you guys so much. You all rock. And I will see you next Monday. Until then, be safe, take care of each other, and don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.